emboldened me no little, so that I felt nothing of trepidation, but merely uplifted my eyes with a leisurely movement and looked carefully around the room for the intruder. I could not, however, perceive anyone at all.
"Humph!" resumed the voice, as I continued my survey. "You must be so drunk as the pig, then, for not see me as I sit here at your side."
Hereupon I bethought me of looking immediately before my nose, and there, sure enough, confronting me at the table sat a personage nondescript, although not altogether indescribable. His body was a wine-pipe or rum-puncheon or something of that character, and had a truly Falstaffian air. In its nether extremity were inserted two kegs, which seemed to answer all the purposes of legs. For arms, there dangled from the upper portion of the carcass two tolerably long bottles, with the necks outward for hands. All the head that I saw the monster possessed was one of those Hessian canteens which resemble a large snuff-box with a hole in the middle of the lid. This canteen, with a funnel on its top, like a cavalier cap slouched over the eyes, was set on edge upon the puncheon, with the hole toward myself, and through this hole, which seemed puckered up like the mouth of a very precise old maid, the creature was emitting certain rumbling and grumbling noises, which he evidently intended for intelligible talk.
"I say," said he, "you must be the drunk as the pig, for sit there and not zee me sit here. And I say, do, you must be bigger fool than the goose, for to disbelieve that is print in the print. 'Tis the proof that it is, every word of it."
"Who are you, pray?" said I, with much dignity, although somewhat puzzled. "How did you get here, and what is it you are talking about?"
"As for how I comed here," replied the figure, "that is none of your business. And as for what I be talking about, I be talk about what I think proper, and for who I be, why, that is the very thing I comed here for, to let you see for yourself."
"You're a drunken vagabond," said I, "and I shall ring the bell and order my footman to kick you into the street."
"He, he, he," said the fellow. "That you can't do."
"Can't do," said I. "What do you mean? I can't do what?"
"Ring the bell," he replied, attempting a grin with his villainous little mouth.
Upon this, I made an effort to get up in order to put my threat into execution. But the ruffian just reached across the table very deliberately, and hitting me a tap on the forehead with the neck of one of the long bottles, knocked me back into the armchair from which I had half arisen. I was utterly astounded, and for a moment was quite at a loss what to do. In the meantime, he continued his talk.
"You see," said he, "it is the best for zit still, and now you shall know who I be. Look at me. Zee. I am the Angel of the Odd."
"And odd enough, too," I ventured to reply, "but I was always under the impression that an angel had wings."
"The wing!" he cried, highly incensed. "What I be do mit the wing? Mein Gott, do you take me for a chicken?"
"Well, no. Oh, no," I replied, much alarmed. "You're no chicken, certainly not."
"Well, then, sit still and behave yourself, or I'll rap you again mit me fist. It is the chicken ob de wing, und the owl ob de wing, und the imp ob de wing, und the head teufel ob de wing, the angel ob not ob de wing, and I am the angel of the odd."
"And your business with me at present is..."
"Is my business!" ejaculated the thing. "Why, what a low-bred puppy you must be for to ask a gentleman and an angel about his business!"
This language was rather more than I could bear, even from an angel, so, plucking up courage, I seized a salt-cellar which lay within reach and hurled it at the head of the intruder. Either he dodged, however, or my aim was inaccurate.